Good afternoon, KTOO listeners. It's time for another edition of A Juno Afternoon. I'm Ken Fix, filling in for Joan Pardis. I'll be your host for today. On the show, we'll find out about the new play from the Northern Lights Junior Theater, new production, How Things Happen in Three. We'll get a preview of this Friday's Flag Halloween Dance at the Rockwell. Jess Brown will offer details about the upcoming women's climbing class and the Real Rock film tour. And we'll find out about the Canvas Halloween party. Lastly, we'll get a preview of tonight's Alaska Design Forum with guest Jacob Trawlback. These guests, Writer's Almanac, Bird Note Music, and lots more for Wednesday, October 29th, 2014. Stay with us. National Native News is up first.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Tribes and Native organizations are joining as parties in a future hearing on the site permit in South Dakota for the Keystone Pipeline. Since the pipeline was not built within 4 years, TransCanada has to certify that it still meets the conditions of the permit. The South Dakota Public Utilities Commission voted Tuesday to allow in opposition parties, which include Nebraska residents and organizations. Victoria Wicks reports.
TransCanada has not opposed allowing South Dakota tribes to act as parties. So Faith Spotted Eagle from the Yankton Sioux tribe doesn't argue on her own behalf, but for her neighbors just over the reservation's southern border.
From the Ehunktown, we have many medicines and cultural resources that we still utilize in the state of Nebraska. And so to us, their land is of value because they watch over our medicines. And that's very, very crucial in the impact of land, water, and resources.
TransCanada is represented by Sioux Falls attorney William Taylor. He tells commissioners that arguments from Tom and Dallas Goldtooth, like those of Nebraska residents, are irrelevant on the state level. The father and son activists with the Indigenous Environmental Network contend in filings that TransCanada has violated the nation-to-nation requirements of the National Historic Preservation Act.
That's an issue that should be taken up with the State Department. It is an issue that, in fact, in the Keystone One project, the tribes took up with the State Department in the form of a federal lawsuit.
Taylor says the Goldtooth family lives in Minnesota, 200 miles from the nearest point on the KXL pipeline route. But Dallas Goldtooth says he has roots in South Dakota and 4 children from Pine Ridge.
As a member of the Ocheti Shakoi, a part of the great Lakota Dakota, I have a genuine interest in what is affecting my people here in South Dakota.
Goldtooth says tribes will testify that consultation is inadequate and the federal environmental impact statement is flawed. The hearing date has not yet been set. For National Native News, I'm Victoria Wicks in Rapid City, South Dakota.
A disabled Russian cargo ship carrying hundreds of tons of fuel was recently towed to the British Columbia port of Prince Rupert. The vessel had lost power due to mechanical failure. As Dan Karpinchuk reports, the incident came as opponents of oil pipelines, including First Nations, expressed concerns about accidents.
This crisis was averted, but only just. Still, critics say the incident has raised questions about how well-prepared Canada is for a major accident and spill at sea. And with billions of dollars being spent on new pipelines to carry oil from Alberta to the West Coast and then by tanker to Asia, the risks of more accidents increases. It took more than 20 hours for a Canadian Coast Guard vessel to reach the stricken ship, and when it did, the tow line snapped 3 times. It took 2 days for an American ocean-going tug to finally reach the Russian ship. Over the past year, Ottawa has made several announcements about marine safety. The environment minister says the federal and provincial governments are working on what they describe as a world-class response system. Peter Lanton is the president of the Haida First Nation. Lanton says it was luck that a crisis was averted, and he had something to say about their idea of an emergency response.
There's nothing world-class about it. I mean, the fact that 20 hours is the earliest estimate time of arrival for anybody really just reassures what we've been saying all along, is that the systems in place are not adequate, and it's a joke. It's a joke to think that, they could ramp up the amount of tankers through our territory and convince us that there's world-class systems in place to respond.
At least one marine transport analyst says the results of the operation were discouraging. The Canadian Coast Guard, which has faced budget cuts, just doesn't have the resources. The owners of the ship had it taken to Prince Rupert, the nearest container ship port, which is about 100 miles from where the tow operation began. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
Our democracy is a government of the people, for the people. Let's keep it that way. Vote on November 4th. Get registered. Cast your vote. It's that simple. More information at nativenews.net. Brought to you by the Carnegie Corporation of New York and Kawanak Broadcast Corporation.
Science, technology, engineering, and math students thrive at New Mexico Tech. Personalized instruction, rigorous curricula, undergrad research opportunities. New Mexico Tech, where the smart kids go. Info in Winds of Change magazine or visit nmt.edu. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
It's 3:05 p.m. You're listening to a Juno Afternoon. My first guest in the studio is Cinnamon Simpson, and she's brought along five other players from the Theater at Latitude 58's production of How Things Happen in Three. Cinnamon, welcome to the studio. You're no stranger. I've seen you here before.
Thank you. I'm glad to be back. Good to see you again.
Okay, and let's introduce everybody that came in today.
My name's Piper, and I play the wind.
My name's Taylor.
My name's Allie.
I'm Devin.
I'm Adara.
And I'm Sarah.
Okay, welcome all of you to the studio. All right, Cinnamon, let's talk a little bit about this new play that you're putting on.
Well, thank you. So our play is all about, it's How Things Happen in Threes, and it's all about a little girl trying to go to bed. And we all know how little girls don't like to go to bed very easily. So she's reading to her dear friend, and all the stories with the number three come up in there.
All right, and let's talk to you first, Piper. You're playing the wind. How tough is that one to do?
Not very.
Okay, what do you do when you're the wind? You just make noises into a microphone, or what do you do? She's speechless. Okay, let's move down the line here. Is it Piper, you're next?
Or, Taylor.
Oh, Taylor, you're next. Okay. What part or parts are you playing? Because some of you I know are playing multiple parts.
I'm playing the pigs and an actor and a jester.
Okay.
I am Allie, and I am playing a billy goat from Three Billy Goats Gruff, and I am playing a fishwife.
All right, Allie.
So, I'm Devin again, but I play a Papa Bear and a husband who likes to argue.
And I'm playing the little girl, Mary, and the fairy godmother, and the angel.
All right. Now, Cinnamon, I know that your plays get on in a hurry. How much practice have these people had for this show?
So we started, we had auditions in late August, so it hasn't been very long.
Right.
I think they had nine weeks, I think, of practice.
All right. And when is the first play going to take place?
So we open tomorrow at 7 p.m. at the Douglas Community United Methodist Church over there in Douglas. And we perform again on Saturday, a matinee and an evening.
Okay. Are those the only two shows?
We've got three. We've got one tomorrow night and then two on Saturday.
Two on Saturday.
All right.
All right. Well, who came up with the idea for How Things Happen in Three?
Well, actually, it was kind of an accident. We were flipping through the catalog of plays and the name, and it had no picture. It was the only one that didn't have a picture. And I started thinking, how many stories can I think of that had three in them? And the more I started listing, well, then I had to read the play to find out how many more that I didn't think of.
All right. And Sarah, you're no stranger to the studio. How'd you get involved in this?
Well, I love theater at Latitude 58. They're a wonderful theater here in town who combines basically adult actors with children actors, and all kinds of levels of experience come together. And what's exciting about this show is that there's something fun for everyone in it. You've got the Three Little Pigs, the Three Billy Goats Gruff, these timeless classic folktale stories that are told by wonderful young actors who have been really inspired by the work of Cinnamon Simpson and this theater. So I really would encourage everyone to come because they have worked very hard, and it's a magically enchanting show.
All right, Cinnamon, where can people get tickets?
You can get them right at the door. Walk right in, and we'll sell you a ticket.
Okay, great. So three shows beginning at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. Then.
Correct.
All right. Well, anybody else want to say anything before I let you go? You're all standing there sort of speechless. Didn't want to put you on the spot here.
I think they were all ready with their favorite line from the play, if you want to hear a favorite line.
Oh, sure. Let's go down the line. Do you have a favorite line from your play?
Never.
My favorite line is, "What about this watermelon is stuck to my face?"
I think my favorite line would have to be, "Super Clyde."
I think mine would be, "I hope they didn't steal our honey."
And my favorite is probably, "I love to walk in the forest." WOODS Forest.
That's actually pretty good. All right, Cinnamon Simpson, thank you very much for bringing everybody in and being a part of our show today.
Oh, thanks for having us. Everybody say goodbye.
Everybody say goodbye. All right, that was Cinnamon Simpson and the group for the show How Things Happen in 3, which is playing at the Douglas Theater at 7 o'clock tomorrow night, and two shows on Saturday. And now I'm going to plug a little bit for Gold Street Music Concert that's coming up with Alaska's Kit. Also, Joe Emerson and John Hartle and friends, Steve Nelson, the Flustered Cluckers, and the JDHS Jazz Quartet. And they're going to be at Resurrection Lutheran Church at 10th and Glacier this Saturday, November 1st at 7:30 p.m. And the tickets are $5 at the door. And here's Kit with her rendition of Blue. You'll probably recognize this if you're a country and blues fan. That was Juno's own Kitten the Caboodles, and they, again, are going to be at the Gold Street Music Concert this Saturday, November 1st, 2014 at 7:30. Tickets are $5 at the door. So you can hear Kitten. That was a great version of Blue. And our membership drive is still ongoing. We still have to reach our goals, or trying to, and we are relying on listeners like you for our donations, and all the programming that you get on this station doesn't come for free, all things considered. Even the little programs, National Native News, Bird Note, that run within the course of the Juno afternoon, we have to pay for those. Those just don't come in for free. And anything that you can give always helps out towards our goals, and it keeps us on the air, keeps the station running, and keeps even the lowly volunteers like me busy with lots of things to do. The phone number is 586-3636, and for the next 45 minutes, we still have our groups out there answering the phone, and these are the Grateful Dogs of Juno group. And I've got George Uttermole in here.
Yes.
Okay, I got the name right. And he represents Grateful Dogs of Juno. And please tell us what your group does.
Good afternoon. Grateful Dogs of Juno is a local Juno organization. It's a membership organization composed of dog owners and people interested in dogs in Juno. We're an advocacy group on behalf of responsible dog owners, and also we promote responsible dog ownership.
All right. And who's out there answering phones with you?
Today we have Paula Terrell, and Deborah Baer is out there answering phones today.
All right. And we'd love to keep Paula and Deborah busy. So if anybody is listening and would like to donate to the station and keep us operational, any little bit helps. You can become a sustaining member where you're helping us throughout the year in keeping us on the air, or you can make a one-time contribution just to do your part. Anything, $15, $20, every little bit helps us get to our goal. And that phone number again is 586-3636. And George, do you want to say anything else on behalf of Grateful Dogs of Juno?
Well, Grateful Dogs would like to encourage the people of Juno to support K2 because it's very supportive of dog ownership and responsible dog ownership in the community. And they've been very supportive of us in our efforts to promote responsible dog ownership and encourage dog owners to be responsible citizens in the community.
All right, George, thank you for coming in and being a guest on our show, and thank your group very much for being some of our phone answerers today.
Thank you.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday, the 29th of October, 2014. It's the birthday of the quilt maker Harriet Powers, born into slavery outside Athens, Georgia, 1837, famous for the quilts that she made, which told a story sort of like a graphic novel, such as her Bible quilt of 1886, which now hangs in the Smithsonian, and her pictorial quilt of 1888, displayed in the Museum of Fine Arts in Boston. It was on this day, 1929, more than 16 million shares of stock were sold off in a panic on the stock market crash. It was called Black Tuesday. $30 billion disappeared on this day, 1929. 1,300 banks closed within a year, 30% unemployment. And within 4 years, of the 25,000 banks, 11,000 had failed. The Great Depression was in full swing. The economy had been booming in the 20s, so people kept speculating in the markets. They borrowed money to buy stocks, thinking that they could turn around and sell them at a profit, and so they went bankrupt. It was the most disastrous trading day in the stock market's history. It's the birthday of James Boswell, Edinburgh, 1740, a charming young man who wanted adventure, and so he went off to London. He kept a diary, and instead of describing his own thoughts and feelings, he wrote down scenes from his life as though they were from a novel, described his friends as though they were characters, recorded long stretches of dialogue. Everybody who met James Boswell liked him. Voltaire and David Hume, Rousseau, the philosopher, liked him so well, and Rousseau's mistress liked him so much that she had an affair with Boswell. And then in 1763, he met the scholar and writer Samuel Johnson. They became friends, and Boswell kept a close record of everything Johnson told him. And he wrote his Life of Johnson in 1791, long after Johnson's death. He had to fight with his editor to keep in all the little odd details, like things Johnson had said to his cat and what kind of underwear he thought women should wear. The book became a big bestseller, and it's a big part of the reason why Samuel Johnson is still famous today. Here's a poem for today by John Updike, Island Cities. You see them from airplanes, nameless green islands in the oceanic rectilinear plains, 20 or 30 blocks, compact, but with everything needed visibly in place, the high school playing fields, the Swatcha Park along the crooked river, the feeder highways, the main drag like a zipper, outlying malls sliced from dirt-colored cakes of plowed farmland. Small lives, we think, pat, flat, in such tight grids, but much like brains with every crease cat scanned, these cities keep their secrets, vagaries of the spirit, groundwater that floods the nearby quarries and turns them sky blue, dewdrops of longing, jewels boxed in these blocks. Island Cities, a poem by John Updike, from Americana and Other Poems, published by Alfred A. Knopf and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation. Publisher of Poetry Magazine, committed to discovering great poets and printing their verse. Back issues and subscriptions available at poetryfoundation.org. And by Arizona State University, with more than 70 campus degrees now available 100% online at online.asu.edu. Engineered by Noah Smith, produced by Joy Biles. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Support comes from the Juno Artist Gallery located downtown in the historic Senate Building, featuring locally made and handcrafted paintings, sculpture, stained glass, pottery, and more. Details at JunoArtistGallery.com.
3:23 p.m. and Juno Afternoon continues. My next guest is Jess Brown, and she's going to have the details for us about an upcoming women's climbing class. Welcome, Jess, to the studio.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, let's talk about climbing. How did you get involved in this?
How did I get involved in climbing?
Yes.
Well, I guess about 10 years ago, I enrolled in an Outward Bound course. So I spent 3 weeks out in the wilderness of the boundary waters of Minnesota, canoeing and rock climbing. And I just loved, I just absolutely adored the rock climbing portion of the course. And so I just continued to pursue it, and it's just a true passion of mine. And when I came to Juno, I decided to share that passion with others. So I teach a women's class every Wednesday. We start up in the fall, and we go through the winter and the spring, and then we usually complete the season with an outdoor climb at the sea cliffs.
All right. Now, yeah. For those people that don't know, what is the Rock Dump?
The Rock Dump is an indoor rock climbing gym out in Thane, so just past the last cruise ship dock. So we've got huge walls. The A lot of people may have not been there in the recent years, but we now have a nice, soft, cushy red carpet. So if you come down or if you're bouldering and you land on the ground, it's nice and soft and gentle.
All right. Well, it's easier than landing on something that's really rough, like jagged rocks.
Yeah.
All right. And what is the Real Rock film tour that you were going to talk about?
So the Real Rock film
tour. And it's actually real as in R-E-E-L, not R-E-A-L.
Correct. All right. So every year, well, for many years now, we've been putting on a film, the Real Rock film tour. And it's usually comprised of a series of short films about outdoor climbing or climbing culture. And it's really fun. I mean, you see these absolutely gorgeous views and you see this whole different side of climbing that if you live in Juneau, you don't typically get to witness. And so this year, the film is mainly about the Valley Uprising film, and it's about the early days of Yosemite Valley. So if you've ever visited Yosemite Valley, you've seen climbers up on the nose in the valley right there. And this is all about how it got started, how climbing got started in the valley, and just the early days of climbing. So you get to see all their rugged gear, and it's really kind of amazing that they were able to accomplish what they were.
Jess, let's give us a little bit more detail on the climbing class. When's it going to start? How many people can you accommodate in the class?
So we actually started back up in September, and we climb every Wednesday night. So every Wednesday night is actually Women's Night, and women can pop in the class for $15, or if you're a member, it's free of charge. And it runs from 6:30 until 8, and women of all ages and abilities are welcome. So I've had mother-daughter pairs, and I've had women in their 60s, all ages and abilities.
Do we have hands-on instruction available for newcomers?
Absolutely. So usually we'll all gather around, we'll get our gear, and we'll stretch and introduce ourselves, and we'll sort of have a theme for the night. So maybe we'll be focusing on our foot placement or trying to fit in a specific drill for the night. And then we'll usually break off and climb in pairs, and that's where you really learn from each other. And that's what I love about teaching the classes, that it's women sharing their experience with others and just getting out there and trying really creative and bold moves. And no one's going to tell you that you can't do that or that you have to climb a certain way. It's just about trying what works for you.
Jess, when does the Real Rock film tour start?
Oh, that's a great question. it's Saturday, November 8th, and the doors will open at 7 p.m., and the movie will start at 8. And if you get your tickets in advance, either online at rockdump.com/RRT or at the Rock Dump, then they're $17. If you get them at the door, it's $20.
All right, and where are you going to be showing the film?
Centennial Hall.
Okay, good. I was thinking it's either that or it's probably the Nickelodeon.
Yes.
All right, Jess, and if anybody wants any more information, where can they go?
They can go to the Rock Dump Facebook page or the rockdump.com webpage.
All right. Anything else that you wanted to add?
We'll have prizes and...
Oh, wait a minute. There's prizes.
Prizes. Okay. Prizes, and Alaska Brewing has generously donated some kegs for us to sail.
Oh, that's
and...
even better. All right.
Yeah.
All right. That's great. Jess Brown, thank you very much for being our guest in the studio.
Thanks so much.
Every path.
Amazing rendition of Climb Every Mountain. That's from the Sound of Music soundtrack. It's the one with Carrie Underwood that was on NBC last winter. This winter they're doing a version of Peter Pan. Christopher Walken's playing Captain Hook. I don't know how that's going to work out. That's going to be interesting anyways. 3:31 p.m. and Juno Afternoon's going to continue. We've got some Halloween parties that are coming up and some people that are going to be coming in here to talk about them. But, well, let's see. I'm going to run a little bit of the Dead Man's Party because that's a little bit more like Halloween for us.
Maybe just just one more. I was struck by lightning, walking down the street. I was hit by something that's dying in my sleep. It's a dead man's party. Who could ask for more?
Support for programming on this station comes from Bill Walker and Byron Malott, candidates for governor and lieutenant governor of Alaska. This message is paid for by Walker Malott for Alaska.
That was a little bit of Dead Man's Party from Oingo Boingo, and that's a perfect setup for my next two guests here, Kelly Manning and Melanie Adams, and they're from the Canvas, and they're going to be talking about their Halloween party. Welcome to the show, both of you.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Oh, you're welcome. And let's talk about Halloween and a party.
Oh, we're so excited. It's one of our favorite events of the year. We always do a big Halloween party. It's gone back since the beginning of the Canvas, and we're really excited to be moving this tradition forward.
All right. A little bit more about the party here. Who's invited? Dead people? And
we definitely welcome costumes. We're going to have a costume contest at the event. We're giving away a prize from Taku Lanes. They have a bowling punch card. So that's going to be the prize for the best costume at the costume contest, which we'll probably do around 5 o'clock. So we definitely welcome people in costume, people of all ages, young and old. It's for anyone, really a family-friendly event. And it's going to be this Friday on Halloween from 2 till about 9, 10 p.m. And I'd love to have Melanie talk about what we're going to be doing at the first part of the event, which is the Halloween Carnival that goes from 2 to 6. So, Mel, do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, Melanie, go ahead.
Hello, everybody. I know everybody knows me. I'm Melanie.
Can you tell us, Mel, about the carnival?
This is Kelly, our director of Canvas. And this Friday is October 31st, 2 to 9 p.m. 2 to 6 is Halloween Carnival. Mayor Sanchez is Lou and Louise Hernandez. Face painting, payback ties for Connery James and Andre Jones. And Chris is selling popcorn and water. And Dawn is doing Haunted House. And we're doing
fortune telling.
We're doing our Gypsy's Booze is me, Melanie Adams, my sister with Sal, Fred Sauce, a new Yumi sister, and my radio. And Lucy, of course, and you all ages for all events, all ages, every event. It's at downtown at Reach, 223 Western Street. Call toll-free 586-1750. Website, www.carrots.org. Contact Kelly, Chris, and Catherine.
All right.
Make your everybody.
All right.
And
good. Thanks,
I know
Mel.
You hear me, sis.
All right. Mel. I'm just gonna reiterate that.
Kelly. Yeah. Face painting is going on here.
Yeah. Yeah. We've got face painting, and as Melanie mentioned, we've got the Mad Scientists, which is a great performance booth. And then Melanie is going to be a part of the Gypsy booth, which is also a performance booth. They do fortune telling and palm reading. It's a lot of fun. So we're going to have all those kinds of carnival activities and events going on from 2 to 6 p.m. And then we transition into the gallery, and we set up a fire pit, and we create this great ambiance and do ghost stories around the campfire. And we're going to have Rhonda Garnier and we're going to have Clint Farr, and myself and Catherine Kell will be telling stories. And then we will have an open mic for people to share their favorite ghost stories.
All
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I heard haunted house in there too.
Yes. There's going to be a haunted house that Reach is putting on down the hallway. And that'll be probably from about 2 to 5 p.m. And so people will be able to go down and enjoy that as well.
Okay. And this is all going to take place at the Canvas on Friday.
Yes. Canvas on Friday from 2 to 7 is the carnival and the ghost stories. 8 to 10 p.m. we'll be showing Nightmare Before Christmas in the gallery, just to wrap it up with a scary movie.
And is there going to be an admission charge?
No admission charge. The only thing we charge for is popcorn and water. It's about $1 for each. And
wow, that's
so
nice.
Yeah. Lots of fun activities, great, great fun for family, lots of prizes, little grab bag prizes and things like that.
Oh, sounds like a great thing to do, especially if we wind up getting rained out.
Exactly. Good
All
indoor
right, what's
Halloween
the, what's
event.
What's the forecast? Friday says rain likely with highs in the mid-40s, southeast winds at 10, and Friday night rain with lows around 38. Hey, this may be a place for everybody to go.
That's what we're hoping. We'd
All
love
right.
to see you.
Okay. Kelly Manning and Melanie Adams, thank you very much for being our guests in the studio today.
Thanks for having us.
Support comes from Northern Audiology and Hearing Services in the Jordan Creek Center. Northern Audiology offers diagnostic medical hearing expertise and digital technology hearing instruments. 789-6780.
And a Juno afternoon continues. It's 3:45 p.m. I'm Ken Fix. I'm your host. I'm filling in for Joan Pardis today. And before we get to the next guest, I would like to remind everybody that our membership drive is still ongoing. We have a few more minutes left for the Grateful Dogs of Juno group that they're out there answering phones. And we don't stay on the air without help from you out there listening to us every day. So whatever you can gin up, if you'd like to become a sustaining member, 586-3636 is the number to call. And if you would just like to make a one-time donation to us, same number, 586-3636. And I've got George Uttermall and Deborah Bear and Paula Terrell. They're all out there from Grateful Dogs of Juno, and they are answering phones right now. So that again is wide open, 586-3636. And if you're calling from outside the Juno area, you can get us at 1-800-478-3636. And you can also donate online by going to www.ktoo.org. And now I'd like to welcome my next guests in the studio, and they are Evelyn Russo from Alaska Design Forum and her guest, Jacob Trollback, and they're both in here with me today. Welcome both of you to the show.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. All right, Jacob, let's talk a little bit about what's going on tonight.
Well, I'm going to do a presentation that's about design and creativity and how that how you can use that to connect to people and to get your message across in different forums. We're working mostly with television and film and commercials.
All right. And what is sort of the content of the presentation that you're going to do? You've had work that's been featured in the New York Times and Boards Magazine, Creativity and Print Magazine. So what are you going to be concentrating on here tonight?
I'm just going to talk a little bit about how where I get my inspiration from and how you sort of can find creativity in different everyday things that you find, and see how that leads up to communication that we're doing. For example, the BBC is a big client for us right now.
All right. Jacob, you serve on the board of directors at the Art Directors Club, and what kind of topics do you cover on that, and what's your influence there?
It's a lot about helping young people find a way to communicate in different kinds of commercial media, and so we're talking a lot about how to inspire people, how to educate people in communication, in advertising mostly.
Okay, and how does the internet play into a lot of this, as opposed to traditional forms of advertising and design?
Well, it's obviously has changed a lot, but still, surprisingly, even though the millennials are not watching television, there's a lot of advertising money still going to television, so that's not going away yet, but it's definitely will be a shift in the next, what should I say, the next 10, 15 years. I think that it's going to be a harder times for television.
Okay, does that result in, shortened messages when you're trying to get something across on the internet as opposed to the television medium? Do your messages become a little bit shorter and more to the point when you're using something online versus something that's on television?
Yeah, you have to get people's attention right away. It's you can see that on all the ads that are playing on YouTube, for example, that, you know, you have 2, 3, 4 seconds to get people's attention.
Oh, yeah, and I know how that works. You know, click on something on YouTube, and it may be like a 30-second ad, and if you don't catch somebody within the first 5 seconds, they can skip to the video that they want to watch.
Exactly.
And, if you don't hook them right away with the imagery and the message that's coming across, you've lost them.
Yeah, but the interesting thing about that is that I think in the future – you can't push communication or advertising onto people. You got to want them to want it. And I think that there's, on television, there's still a generation who likes advertising because that's when they can then they can make a cup of coffee or grab a beer, or they can text their friends or whatever. So that's kind of a welcome intermission. I think that when it comes to when you're online and you're, you know, looking for something, to get an ad then can be very disruptive. And you know, you can almost dislike the advertisers just because it's taking your time away.
Right. Now, how does embedding work? Like if you're watching a program and let's say there's a car chase and both of the vehicles are Fords, you know, how much does that play into the creation and the compensation that television shows get for their advertising? Do you know?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of product placement everywhere. And, I mean, I don't know. I guess it's fine in a way, especially if you're doing low-budget things and you're getting a lot of help from car companies or whatever. Obviously, you have to feature the products. But the problem is, of course, when your advertiser has different kind of demands on how you can use their product or what you can do with it, and then, you know, they're all of a sudden controlling the content, which is not quite as great.
And what's the most interesting product placement that you've seen?
Oh,
besides like car chases and, you know, people running cars through buildings and stuff like that.
I mean, you can often see cameras used in movies in a great way, and it's very hard to show someone taking a photograph without seeing, you know, that this is a Canon or a Nikon or whatever it is. But it's kind of a little bit ironic in the sense that it's a camera that captures the camera that is doing the product placement.
Okay. And is there anything else that you wanted to add for your presentation tonight that's taking place at 6 o'clock at Gold Town?
Maybe just that my background is that I was actually a DJ and
You were on this side of the mic too then, huh?
Yeah, but I had a nightclub in Stockholm, Sweden where I grew up, and so I would play a lot of music and talk about music a lot also.
All right. Well, let's see if Evelyn wants to add anything here.
Just come tonight. It's going to be a great presentation. It's the first lecture of our series for this year, and the series theme is Signal Noise. And so we're really excited that Jacob could be there. He's a perfect guest for our theme, which is really trying to take all the information that we get bombarded with every day and how design can help us determine what is important, you know, what's the signal and what is background or the noise. And so his background in music and the work that they do is just a great example of the kinds of things we want to explore in the coming year with the guests we have coming to town.
And Evelyn, is there anything you wanted to add for the Alaska Design Forum?
For those that don't know who we are, we've been around for 20-some-odd years now, 22 years, and we bring architects, artists, designers from all over the world to Alaska so we can learn a little bit more about what's going on and to really create discussion around the built environment and how we live today in the arts and design. So that's what we do, and we bring 5, 6, 7 lectures to Alaska every year. And as I said, Jacob's our first. Our next one's not until January. I forget the date, but it's Lead Pencil Studio, AlaskaDesignForum.org on the web if anyone wants to take a look at that. And they are architects out of Oregon.
All right. Evelyn Russo and Jacob Trollback, thank you for being our guests on the show today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Bird Note.
Your cheating heart will make you weep.
When Hank Williams wrote Your Cheating Heart, we're pretty sure birds weren't on his mind. But researchers have found lots of evidence of what we might call infidelity in birds. Ornithologists have known for some time that males of many bird species seek to mate outside the pair, presumably to father as many offspring as possible to carry on their heredity. But scientists studying superb starlings in East Africa have learned that the females of this species seem to be the ones with cheating on their minds. Superb starlings live in cooperative social groups, where subordinate, non-paired males help raise the chicks of established pairs. Females will cheat or mate with subordinate males when the females need help raising chicks, thus increasing the survival rates of those chicks. Also, some females sneak off with males outside their social group if their mates are too genetically similar to themselves. This infidelity helps promote healthy genetic diversity. So, at least in birds, there may be more logic in that cheatin' heart than meets the eye. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein.
Your cheatin' heart will tell on you.
PM, you're listening to KTOO in Juneau. Juneau Afternoon is just about concluded, but we are still working on raising about $310,000 in support of KTOO operations this year. And due to the strong response to our mail campaign and the sustaining membership program, we are about a quarter of the way there. This week, we are trying to raise about $55,000 in order to stay on track. And I would like to thank all of you out there who have been generous with your donations. And those you may find it easiest to make a gift during these on-air campaigns. Our numbers here in the studio are 586-3636. And for the next couple of minutes, I've got Grateful Dogs of Juneau out there. And they're still available to answer your calls. You can also do it on 1-800-478-3636 if you're outside of the Juneau area. And you can also make your contributions online at www.ktoo.org. So however you guys would like to do it. And since this is the last show I'm doing before Halloween, even though I'm doing a Halloween show tonight with my wife, Colleen, that'll be on our sister station, KRNN, on 102.7 at 5 o'clock. Our Halloween show will take place. But right now, I'm going to run a little bit of Love Potion number 9.
I took my troubles down to Madam Rue. You know that gypsy with the gold cap, too. She's got a hat on 34th and Vine, selling little bottles of Love Potion number 9. I told her that I was a flop with chicks. I've been this way since 1956. She looked at my palm and she made a magic sign. She said, what you need is Love Potion number 9. Said I'm gonna mix it up right here in the sink. It smelled like turpentine and looked like India ink. I held my nose, I closed my eyes,
I took a drink.
I didn't know it was a day or night. I started kissing everything in sight. But when I kissed the cop at 34th and Vine, he broke my little bottle of Love Potion number 9. I kissed the cop at 34th and Vine. He broke my little bottle of Love Potion number 9.
Well, that's an oldie but a goodie for Halloween. That's Love Potion number 9 from the Clovers. It's 3:59 p.m., and let's do the forecast for tonight, shall we? Tonight, we're expecting rain likely with lows in the mid-30s and northeast winds at 10 to 20 miles an hour. Tomorrow, rain with highs in the low 40s and northeast winds at 10 to 20, shifting to the southeast 10 to 15 by the afternoon. Tomorrow night, rain with lows in the upper 30s and southeast winds at 15. And for the Halloween forecast, Rain likely during the day with highs around 43 and southeast winds at 10. And Halloween night, rain with lows around 38. And you are listening to KTOO in Juneau. Our pledge drive is continuing. The phone number is 586-3636. And Juno Dogs, Grateful Dogs of Juno, actually, they're finishing up, and I don't know what group is taking their place, but we got somebody coming in here to answer phones, 586-3636, and every little bit helps if you want to become a sustaining member or make a one-time donation. Our radio station here broadcasts on translators K276 AF in the Mendenhall Valley in Auk Bay, K269 AO in Lemon and Schweitzer Creek, K201 AM in Gustavus, K220 BT in Hoonah, K210 AS in Excursion Inlet, Nicey Strait. In Juneau, KTOO is on GCI Cable Digital Channel 871, KRNN is on 872, and KXLL is 873. We are also online at ktoo.org. It's been my pleasure to host a Juneau Afternoon today, and I'll see you next Tuesday for another show.
I'm Jack Spear. President Obama again addressing the ongoing fight against Ebola, says the U.S. cannot hurt